Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show, our midweek edition. It's the first Wednesday of the month. That means showdown time on the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, May the 3rd, 2017. We come to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We live stream our show. You can listen to the program on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. If there is anything you would like to join in and say, we'd love to hear from you. The live line number 790-2040, something that David says or Sean certainly should probably get you to a phone. It's time for our monthly showdown on the Buckmaster Show with two gentlemen who have rarely agreed on anything. In the right-hand corner, Mr. Sean McCluskey. Sean is an decorated Air Force veteran, former assistant to Donald Trump, personal assistant to Donald Trump before he became President Trump. Sean was one of the activists who started the Tea Party in Pima County, and he's still very strong in Republican matters and Republican policies. And to the left of me, David Morales. David is a Pima math professor at Pima Community College. He's the creator of the Three Sonorans blog site, a very popular site, which started, what year was that, David?
2010.
And you've done very well with that in the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
David and Sean, how's it going?
Outstanding, thank you.
Outstanding, all right. Sean, many people say we're going to a single-payer system. We ought to use our VA system as a mop. Do I know how to poke you there, right? But since Sean just came from the VA, bad idea to put the VA as a model for anything?
Pretty much, yeah. The single-payer system is broken. It's not going to work because, yes, everybody has their own rights, but your neighbors pay for your health care because you all get lumped in the same pool. If you go to something like the free market principles and you pick and choose across state lines, you look at over 1,000 counties in this country, they only have one insurer choice. Well, that's a monopoly. And that's unacceptable. We banned monopolies in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So why are we doing it today with health care? David will tell you that everybody deserves health care,
yeah,
and
David's
I disagree with that.
David's dad got great care at the VA.
Yeah.
He's very pleased with
it. I waited 10 days for my appointment, and then when I got seen today, I sat there for 40 minutes after my appointment time, and I was there for a total of 2 hours. The end result is they have no clue what is wrong with me. I get to go back when I'm done here.
Oh, my gosh.
So is the VA the answer? No. If the VA is the answer, then I want all the members of Congress to come with me, and we can go one by one and just experience what I experience. If there's some people out there like David's father who get great exceptional service, then make that clinic the example. But right now, as an overall, the VA system is fundamentally broken and flawed. You have senators like Senator McCain who say they can fix it, and the Republicans have both the House, the Senate, and the presidency. But yet here we are sitting on our hands doing absolutely nothing. You have veterans that serve this country proudly. We signed a contract. We upheld our end. We wrote the blank checks and we'll put our life on the line for our country because we have a little bit of American pride and a lot of patriotism. But yet you get back, there is no transition into civilian life. And then you go to make an appointment and you have to wait 10 days to wherever you're looking at gets from just a little bit of a sore to completely infected before you get to get any service.
And were there other veterans waiting there for when you were there, a whole waiting room full of people?
Here's the worst part about that. Is they have meetings today. They don't get out of their meetings until 10 a.m. At 10 a.m., you have a waiting room full of people who have a 10 o'clock appointment. At 10:15 when they didn't get seen, at 10:30 when they did get seen, the 80-year-old guy goes up, and you have this disrespectful little nurse who pretty much yelled at the 80-year-old veteran.
Oh, my goodness.
At which point, I stood up and I said, could you please be a little more respectful?
That's horrible.
The guy got so mad that after 30 minutes of waiting past his appointment time, he had to leave because he had another appointment at the Green Valley area. So he had to go down there. So the veteran got no service today. That's what you get when you go to the VA.
Mm.
Other people have great service. Yeah, I must have the worst luck of all. But when you have a senator like Senator McCain who's been on military affairs or been on appropriations for over 30 years, and his staff will tell you that he has a plan, but he's too chicken to put it out because he puts too many Republicans in jeopardy of losing their seats. Well, I'm sorry, Senator McCain, but you're dead wrong to do that because of the fact that you're putting the American people who fight for this country in jeopardy. You're not honoring the commitment that you signed with them. So at what point does Senator McCain actually get enough guts, if you will, to stand up and tell the Republicans who are gutless to either do the right thing or get out of the way and get out of Congress and get out of the Senate? He's gutless, been there for 30 years, an absolute waste of time.
Sean McCluskey, very frustrated, David.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of issues that you mentioned there, and one of them that you kind of said in passing was, like, you're right, soldiers don't come back with...
there is no transition in civilian life.
Exactly, and so my dad did two tours in Vietnam, and he's had multiple surgeries at the VA here in Tucson, and they've saved his life.
Has he gone there recently?
He volunteers every Friday because he loves them so much. And I have respect for what you said. You know, you're talking about PTSD. You're talking about, you know, a lot of stuff there. I have a lot of respect for that. The irony here is, and this is something we've been arguing about on Facebook recently, is that, you know, you're a hardcore capitalist, you know, and you're relying on a socialist medical system, and you're complaining it doesn't work. And I just wonder why, you know, you own a business. Like, I'm sure, you know, your employees have insurance, private insurance. You know, why don't you do what the rest of us do? I mean, I know you
didn't do what I did. You didn't serve this country. I know you didn't put on the uniform. Even you mentioned on Facebook, you know, you compared me to Rodney Glassman the other day. You know what Rodney has over you? Rodney served this country. Rodney proudly put that uniform on. He may not have ever mentioned or stepped foot into combat, but you know what? I respect him one hell of a lot.
And he's still serving.
I respect him because of the
fact
that
he's a JAG officer.
But he took the oath, and he took the loyalty of office, and he actually signed the paperwork that said, yes, I will go write that blank check for this country. Have you done it? No.
I don't have to do
Guess
that. There's
what?
Other ways to serve this country.
What did I earn by doing that? I earned crappy health care. That's awesome. They broke the promise that I signed on the dotted line for. There are veterans right now that can't even get accepted into the VA. Guy did 20 years in the military. He now makes too much money because he works three jobs to pay for his health care. Is that right? No. But you want to go to the single payer system and you want to tout how great Obamacare is. Well,
no.
Obamacare
I've never supported Obamacare.
Yes, you do.
Obamacare
open-heartedly. Everybody should be insured. That supports Obamacare.
No. Obamacare is a private insurance model. I've always supported a single payer model. Not Obamacare is a require the private corporations to insure you so that you can get help when you need help. That's the opposite of a single payer health care. So I've never supported it. It's a corporate giveaway. And that's...
Single payer health care is socialized medicine. Everybody pays for
it's not single.
You pay for your neighbor. You may never go to the doctor, but yet you still pay. Your neighbor goes, you're paying for it.
I pay for my neighbor's roads to be paved. I pay for the police to protect them. I pay for the fire to come. You know, this is the way America works is you know, healthcare is a human right.
No, it's not.
It is a human right.
It is not a right.
Under the United Nations, it is a human right.
In the United States.
Right.
It is not a right.
The United Nations
is
in
the pursuit of, what is it, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Where does that come from?
Good luck.
So who says, you know, you just make stuff up? I mean, healthcare, I mean, it's the Christian model. It's if you help your sick, help, you know, educate, feed. You know, we need food, we need water, we need to be healthy. Why do you guys argue with this?
All right, let's go to Ed on the live line. Ed would like to join the conversation. Ed, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm the president of the Federation of Southern Arizona Veterans. I formed it back in 2009 when I went 9 months and couldn't see a doctor at the VA.
Thank you.
And all they're doing is transferring. They're allowing the people to retire or they transfer them elsewhere. McCain's office stopped communicating with me when I suggested that these people be prosecuted because whether by commission or omission, if people die, they should be held accountable. And none of that's being done. And then we've had several VA Office of Inspector General investigations, which are a joke. Today, if you go to Prostheses, and I do have to be fair to the new director of that department, what they're doing is they'll check 4, 5, 6 veterans in within 5-10 minutes, then they tell you, okay, you're checked in, now go sit down. On their computer, it looks like they served you within an hour, when in reality, it can be 4 or 5 hours.
Mm. They play these games all the time.
Ed, do you have
and then,
any...
And then if you were able to catch the reports by Valerie Cavazos where that kid was turned away from the VA in mental health, he ended up murdering his best friend. He's doing 25 to life now.
Ed, do you have any advice for Sean McCluskey that could help him out here to make things better for him?
Yes, become a squeaky wheel. From 2010 up until, I think it was October of last year, I had a direct line to Linda Young, who was the first associate director, and then Jennifer Gutkowski, and they used to take my my emails and my calls, and I could, if a vet called me and he said, "Hey, I haven't been able to get an appointment for a year," I had that direct line, but they cut me off, citing confidentiality.
Yeah, you're assisting the veterans, so they don't like that.
The veteran would give me his or her name, their last four, and I would just write a couple of sentences, "This vet needs help," and send it to them, but yet they cut me off.
Ed, may we give you out your last name here on the radio, please?
Wagner. Ed Wagner.
Ed Wagner, okay.
Yeah. And this phone number that I'm calling from is available to any veteran and has been open for years. Anybody can call me.
Can we have that number for you? Go ahead. Give us the number.
Yes, it's 520-488-8217. And I have a website that's www.fosav, Federation of Southern Arizona Veterans.com. And you can see what me and my partner do.
All right. We appreciate it. Ed Wagner calling in. Let's take a break right here. It's the Monthly Showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales. By the way, that number again, 488-8217. And the website, fosaz.com. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, Councilman Steve Kasachek joins us. Also, we talk with former science editor, Parade Magazine, world-renowned comet discoverer, Dr. David Levy. All happening on Buckmaster, noon to 1. On AM 1030 KVOI, we've got worldwide live listening, podcasts, and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the monthly showdown, a rather heated opening segment with Sean McCluskey. And I'll tell you, I don't blame Sean. He is fuming over here, and he's furious about the whole thing with the health care at the VA. I don't blame him one bit. And it's the big runaround for you.
Well, it comes down to you get a bunch of hot air from your elected officials. They all say that the veterans' care is so important. Even Trump said it himself, and he signed this stupid bill the other week that was just a regurgitation of Obama crap that doesn't work. So the situation is as such. I had kidney stones 2 weeks ago today in the ER at the VA. Got great service that time, but I walked into the ER. You expect good service in the ER. They told me I had kidney stones. My urology appointment is June 22nd, much greater than 30 days out. They say that you can go and you can use the outside service. That's what Trump re-signed the other day. Well, the outside service, you have to wait 30 days prior to getting that appointment. Then you have to wait for the outside provider to get the appointment. So there's another, you're at 45 days. Well, I got to wait 60 to get my VA appointment. The benefit about going back to the VA is you're still inside the system. There's no outside billing. When I went outside for my finger, which took 9 weeks to get that appointment, 9 weeks to get an appointment for a torn ligament in your finger. That's ridiculous. There's your single-payer system. There's your Obamacare at its finest. But at the end of the day, 6 months after I was seen, I got a bill at my house. I had to call Senator Flake's office to get that bill removed because the people at the VA were too stupid, too inept, and unwilling to help.
Now, with a single-payer system, David Morales, like in Canada, Sean McCluskey would have care today.
Yeah, well,
is that correct? That's what you contend.
Yes,
right?
The irony. It's a touchy subject, and I know that you earned your right to veterans' health, the VA system. But what I was just trying to say is, you have enough money to not rely on socialist medicine. You have enough money to rely on the capitalistic system that the rest of us rely on. And yes, you do complain about the VA system, which is a social. I mean, you're the anti-socialist, and yet you rely on socialist healthcare. Now, what I'm saying is, why don't you just have private healthcare like the rest of us?
Because I get free oil changes from Jim Click because I bought a car at Jim Click. I don't pay for the oil change at Walmart. I go get my free oil change. I earned it. I definitely signed it on the bottom line.
But,
I gave them the blank check. They deployed me. Was it?
You're relying
10,
on socialism.
Times?
Is my point? Socialism. You are anti-socialist. That's my point here is you are thriving, but you are relying on a socialist system. You're accepting it thoroughly.
Because I think it's foolish to pay for something I've already paid for. I've already earned this. Would you agree, yes or no? You said earlier that I
think a lot of us have earned health care.
You have not earned health care. You have not defended this country.
But Sean signed and
an agreement between the United States government
right
and myself.
Hand. Yeah, and part of the deal, the contract, was healthcare
and education if I wanted it.
Okay, all I'm going to say is you are using and relying on a socialist healthcare system. That's all I'm saying here is that's...
And I'm telling you the system's broken.
You could have...
It's
you can,
not going
you can
to
buy,
be...
You can buy a private healthcare insurance. You can be like the rest of us who go to the doctor and you know... So why don't you?
But then the VA wins in Sean's
case. No, because
case.
Then I get removed from the VA. And then if I ever want to go back to the VA, they'll tell me that I make too much money like they do to all the other veterans.
All right. Well, as a capitalist, enjoy the socialistic healthcare system that you...
And I'm proving that it doesn't work.
All right. Quickly, let's switch topics. Sean, this is our last showdown before the election. The ballots have already been mailed out. And what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to fail. The people
Even though
are,
some of the polling indicates...
Well, who are they polling?
Well, I don't know.
So you have the entire Gabby Giffords crew and everybody that's ever worked on any Democratic political campaign. They're all involved in this. So when they take the poll, absolutely, they're going to hit their high propensity 65% Democrat voter and say, what are you guys doing? And you're calling people on the phone. Do you honestly think people are going to tell you, oh, no, I'm not going to go for this. I'm going to tax myself into oblivion. Just go ahead and we're going to give you guys more money. And that's what they're telling them on the polls. But when you sit there and you look at the grocery lines, and not even if the groceries aren't being taxed, but when you're in the store lines and you're buying something, you have people adamantly upset about the fact that they're paying this much in taxes. There's no way this passes.
David, what do you think? You're hearing a lot of opposition from people. Many of these people do not live in the city of Tucson that are opposed to it.
Well, that's the interesting thing. When I listen, you know, in the morning show, I listen every day, and you know, the opposition to, you know, the sales tax here usually comes from a lot of people who don't even live in the city. The opposition to TUSD, to City of Tucson, to all this stuff comes from people who don't even live in the district or the city. So it's interesting why they, you know, I don't know if it's just easy to beat up on this, but it's just interesting. There's a lot of outside influences, just like the state of Arizona, where we have the Koch brothers, you know, supporting Doug Ducey. And we, and you know, 1070 was funded by a bunch of, I think, mostly Wyoming people. You know, there's just a lot of conservative.
Well, let's look at what the Democrats are doing. The Democrats went and they pulled Rod McLeod out of Phoenix to do the media buy for this. Here's the best thing about Rod McLeod: the man's an idiot. Number one. Number two, he couldn't even use a Tucson fire rig in his publication. They sent out this, it's like an 11x17. It is absolutely huge, and they couldn't even use a Tucson firefighter truck in there.
Why not?
Because they're stupid, because they're from Phoenix. That's why. They don't know the difference between Drexel Heights and Tucson when it looks at the fire badge. I had a fire captain, City of Tucson fire captain, come up and go, he wants to know if you support this, because DA, it's 7-0. Democrats versus anybody else. You've got a cabal running the city, and they're going to tax you into oblivion. Look at South Tucson, 11.75%. It's $2 for a pack of gum. You know who's buying anything in the city of South Tucson? No one. You know where they're buying it? They're buying it online, and for the time being, they're buying it in the city of Tucson. And then that's all going to stop, because they're going to buy everything online, and the city of Tucson will not hit the $50 million a year they're supposed to hit.
I think what's needed is we need Andrew Jackson to avoid all these problems, because, you know, obviously he has the answers to everything. You know, I was listening to the radio this morning and I was just amazed by, you know, they're talking about this kid who goes to Princeton right now, and they're talking about all this.
Christian Schmidt?
Yeah, about all this like classical liberalism, and you're reading this, you're reading that. And I'm like, why don't you just ask him a basic question like, how do you feel about your president just lying? Like, just lying.
What do you lie about?
Andrew Jackson in the Civil War. The wall.
It's his first 100 days. Give him a minute. He'll get there. He's not going to do everything.
We just sent 49 bombs to Iraq. Syria. Mm-hmm. Like, he lies and lies and lies. And I don't know. Like, where's... You guys are the Christians. You guys are the conservatives who...
Give me the lie. I mean, I want to know exactly what he lied about.
Okay,
I want to know
Did Andrew Jackson oversee the Civil War?
Was he part of it, or did he oversee it?
Did he foresee it? Another?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Okay, would he have avoided the Civil War? No one ever asked what the Civil War was about. That's what Trump said. I mean, we've talked about this stuff a lot, and you know,
so let me change the subject real mm-hmm. quick. Are you for or against the half-cent city tax, city sales tax with the 7-0 lead? Do you think they're doing the right thing with the money?
Do you
support it, yes or no?
I'll probably vote no on the sales tax.
There you have it. I got a Democrat on my side. Good luck, City of Tucson. Wow. It's going down 60-40. That's what I'm calling.
Well, I'm
I thought David would have said yes after that.
Well, no, because he watches the financial mismanagement of the City of Tucson. He watches the potholes. He drives the streets. He looks at the parks. He's got kids. He's been to the park. He doesn't let his kids play in the park of Tucson. They go up to Marana.
And you want to get back to the slavery thing real quickly?
Well, it's
the cause of the Civil War.
I mean, I've been criticized so many times. You know, when we go back to this, but then I'm like, he's the one that's even bringing us back to that. He's the one. First of all, Andrew Jackson is his model president. I mean, the guy who led the Trail of Tears, you know, the guy who displaced Native Americans, the guy, I mean, this is your guy. Like, are you seriously proud of Trump?
I have no problems with that. I'm more disappointed and more disgraced and disgusted with the members of Congress and the members of Senate who will not stand behind the Republican president. They will not take over and do what they're supposed to do. They will not get a backbone and do one thing to fix this country. There's too much infighting and too much crybaby BS going on. They're too worried about getting reelected. Guess what? Have a backbone, do what you're supposed to do, and be the non-self-serving individual and serve the people like you said you were going to do. There's not one elected official right now that is doing that. Not one of them. They all need to go.
So we need more executive orders.
Especially McCain.
Oh, and then his praising of all these dictators from Turkey to, you know, inviting the Egyptian, you know, like, I'm dumbfounded here because I'm.
And then look at this, Obama. Look what Obama did.
Obama's not the president
anymore.
You
never chastised him for any of his associations with the Middle East or any of the
I chastised him a lot, by
had.
The way. He was a deporter in chief. But my point is, are you seriously?
You finally admit that. That's all right. Perfect. Okay. Obama deported more illegals than any other president
ever. If you go back in our podcast, you can see that I've said that many times before.
All right. Sean McCluskey needs to get over to the VA, and hopefully things will start to get a little better for him. David Morales, thanks. Always a pleasure. And we've got David Safir coming up. Talk about education right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, We are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:35 on this May 3rd. This portion of the program presented by Green Things. If you're looking to do any gardening this weekend, and why not? It'd be a great weekend. A little warm, maybe, as we push around 100 degrees, but certainly we're used to that when we do our gardening in the early morning or late in the afternoon. Please check out Green Things. They're at 3384 East River Road. The location specifically is just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful location on 13 acres right along the Rito River. It is a destination in itself. I'm sure if you're into gardening, you will find plenty to keep you entertained at Green Things, their website, greenthingsaz.com. Once a month, we welcome to the program the education writer for the section of the TucsonWeekly.com known as The Range. His name is David Safir. David is a former school teacher, and he cares very much about education. And David, probably as far as back as I can remember with your monthly visits, there's never been so much on the table that we could probably take the next 3 hours talking
we
about.
We have an embarrassment of riches today. Or an embarrassment of poverty, depending on how you want to see it, since a lot of it is to impoverish education rather to enrich it. But there's a lot.
Where do you want to start? This whole thing about getting more teachers in the classroom, and is the way to do that by lessening credentials or weakening credentials in some way to get those teachers back?
Sure. That's a great place to start, because there's a new bill that was passed by both houses and signed by Ducey. So now it's law, opening up the certification process. In other words, allowing people in the classroom who couldn't have been there before this bill was signed. And here's my beef with the media. So far, in the newspapers and in the radio and every place I've heard it, that I think they've read this wrong.
Huh.
I think they don't know what the requirements are. And I have never been a politician, and I'm not a lawyer, but I'm an old English teacher who knows how to read. And I've read the law over 4 or 5 times, and I've read over the fact sheet. And here's what I think it says. It says, if you taught for 3 years, yes, at a post-secondary institution like a college, mm-hmm, you can teach. You get what's called a subject matter expert standard teaching certificate.
Hmm.
If you simply have a baccalaureate degree,
a
you
BA,
can teach.
A BA.
Or yeah, BS, or whatever it happens to be for science, Bachelor's of Science. You can teach, too, and get the same certificate. Now, you don't have to take any education classes. You don't have to have any specialty. But if you're an English major, you can get a job as an English teacher. If you're a biology major, you can get a job teaching biology. A math major, you can get a job teaching math. The day after you get your bachelor's, without ever setting foot in an education class and without taking any proficiency test to see if you really know what in the world you're talking about.
Pause 1 second. I have a master's degree in education. Would I be certifiable?
It depends on if it would be in a subject matter, if you have a subject matter area. So that would be the question, if you don't have a certificate. The other thing is that if you've taught 5 years in a field with relevant content to the subject matter that's taught in public schools, you could also get the certificate, but that has no education requirements. And as I read it, somebody could have been a high school dropout, could have expertise in tech, worked in the tech industry, that doesn't care about your education at all, and then after 5 years go and say, I want to teach in high school or junior high school. This is from sixth grade through 12th grade. And if the principal and superintendent say, okay, you're in. Now, the problem, Bill, that I think everyone has, and I hope some people in the media are listening, is people read these as and. You have to have A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say and. In the fact sheet, it says or, this, this, or this. And in the original bill, it says, it used to say all of the following, and now it says any of the following.
Oh.
So, no, you could have been an elementary school dropout, but if you worked 5 years in a relevant field, you can teach. You can get your bachelor's today, and tomorrow you can apply for a teaching job. Or, and this one makes a whole lot more sense, if you've taught college, you know, then you probably have a level of expertise, though possibly no ability to teach at those levels. You could teach, and you would get a subject matter expert standing teaching certificate, and you would never, ever, ever have to take an education class or a proficiency exam. That's
Whoa.
The way it reads.
So you're saying basically the word in there, a keyword is any of the following.
Any of them or. I know what semicolons mean. I'm an old English teacher. And
yes.
It says it could be one semicolon, two semicolon, or three, period. And I know that means that this is a series, and the or means any of them. And if it said and, it would mean all of them. Or it would say either or something like that. If these people know how to craft legislation, and I think it's written the way I'm saying, and by the way, I have an email in to Senator Farley, who's my senator and who I know pretty well, and he will tell me about this, but unfortunately, the man's a busy man and he must be working now, so he hasn't gotten back to me. But I think I'm right, and I think this is horrendous.
790-2040, 790-2040, and you think it's horrendous because?
Well, if you say that anyone who has 4 years of college can hop right into teaching, if you imagine somebody who is just finishing up their bachelor's, don't know what they want to do, or they have no job prospects, they were an English major, or they were a math major, they don't know what to do, they can say, well, how hard could it be? I'll go teach for a few years and see what that's like. I mean, I went to school. I saw these teachers. They sat up there. They took roll. They said a few words to you. They handed out some worksheets, and that's all there is to it. Nothing to it. Piece of cake. It's easy. I can see people doing that, and I can see teacher-strapped principals and superintendents saying, what choice do we have? We have empty classrooms. Mm-hmm. Is it better to take potluck with someone who may be a washout and may be good, or leave an empty classroom? Mm-hmm. So we've created a situation where, first of all, you starve teachers with salaries. You starve education so they don't have good materials. You put too many kids in the classroom. All those things happen, and then the teachers flee naturally. Oh, don't let me forget the fact that teachers are now bad-mouthed from every side of the aisle, especially by the Republicans, to some extent by Democrats, especially by the Republicans. And teachers flee, and then you say, well, we have no choice but putting in people who have absolutely no qualifications to teach other than they have a rudimentary understanding of the subject matter.
Hmm.
That's awful. Talk about taking us on a downhill slide to worse education than we have, where right now we have dedicated teachers who are working hard under terrible conditions. We'll have less dedicated teachers working hard under worse conditions, or maybe not even working hard.
What do you think of Republican Representative Paul Mosley of Lake Havasu City, who is now questioning whether any parent, David Zephyr, should ever be forced to send a child to public school at any age?
Well, we have compulsory education laws. And by the way, if anyone doesn't know the history of that, these came in around the 1920s when they got rid of the child labor laws. So at the same time they said children cannot work in the factories, they said, well, we got to put them somewhere. So they made it compulsory up to a certain age that they be in school. And we've moved that up farther to the point where every year we have more and more kids in school, a higher percentage. Right now we have 85 or 90% of our high school age kids are in school. And this guy is saying, well, let them leave if they want to. Or if they want to leave in the sixth grade, let them leave. Or they want to leave in the fifth grade. Now, here's what would happen.
Wow, you could leave in elementary school?
Oh, well, it sounds like you're saying that. People used to drop out in elementary school back in the good old days. Oh. I put that in quotes. Mm. But if you allow that, actually, it'll cost the state less money. Republicans like the idea of it costing the state less money. Remember, the kids who are most likely to drop out would be the kids who have some kind of a learning disability, which costs more money. Possibly our English language learners, which costs more money. Possibly our behavior and psychological problems, which cost more money in terms of counseling. We could get rid of the most expensive kids, send them elsewhere, and save ourselves money. So I really think, even though most people wouldn't say it, that he's right in line with what Republicans think about education, which is, don't worry about the people who we don't need to be well-educated. Educate the people we need for those kind of jobs we need them for. That's only a limited number, and everybody else, either warehouse them in poor education, or if they want to drop out, so be it.
Hmm. If there's something that David Safir has said during the first segment that you'd like to question, want to hear from you, 790-2040, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is T. Van Hook, CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. Are you or someone you know ready to purchase a safe, affordable home? We are currently seeking individuals and families to become the owners of new and refurbished homes in the greater Tucson area. At Habitat Tucson, we believe that everyone deserves a decent, affordable place to call home. For information, visit us at habitattucson.org or call us at 326-1217. Habitat Tucson is an equal housing opportunity provider.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. This portion of the program presented by the 22nd Annual Silver City Blues Festival Memorial Day Weekend in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Ghost Town Blues Band from Memphis will be the headliners. It's only a three-hour drive over to Silver City. There's going to be a great, it's a free festival, which makes it even better, right? And go to southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of the things to do and places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. A couple of calls on the live line. Let's go to Doug first. Let's go to Doug Martin first, the fine owner of this radio station. Doug, how are you?
Good afternoon. Good to have David on the air. And there was something you said, though, David, that kind of perked my interest a little bit. And it goes to the whole point. I think a lot of folks are turned off to the whole political process because folks make blanket statements like Republicans don't care about kids or education or handicapped people or things like that, or that they would want to warehouse folks in schools or kick them out of the schools. You know, frankly, David, that doesn't make sense because Republicans are about full employment because they don't want to have people dependent on the government. So to not have kids go through school or to get a proper education so they could work doesn't make a lot of sense. So my question to you is this, David, you know, is there anything the Republicans can do or have done that would make you happy?
Well, good question, Doug. And I just wrote a post that just went up today, which is called "Do Arizona Republicans Want to?" And then I make it a multiple choice: dismantle, damage, degrade, and or devalue public education. And I begin that by saying Republicans with most of the power in Arizona are enemies of public education. I'm very careful, or I try to be, though it's hard to be when I'm just talking, to say not all Republicans. But I think the Republicans in power, that means that the majority of the people in the legislature and Doug Ducey are enemies of public education, and I think that's fair. Now, Republicans wanting full employment, we could argue about that. Whether Republicans are okay about greater income inequality, I would say yes. You might say no, but what they hate to do is spend money on government programs. And schools are called government schools by many, many Republicans. I honestly think, and if you read this post that I just wrote, you'll see that that's what I think, that after you take care of the people that really have to be in high-level positions, who need to go to college, need to be the captains of the industry and the middle managers and the scientists and people of that nature, after that, I would say that if you really touch deeply into a lot of the Republican leaders, they would say, why in the world should we spend so much money on education for people who all they have to do is say, do you want fries with that, sir? In other words, a lot of the jobs that are needed in this country right now really don't demand more than a sixth grade education. It's true. When you're sweeping up, when you're cleaning up, when you're doing some factory work that's very repetitive, you don't need high-level reading, writing, and math skills. And so I think these people would say it's very inefficient to spend that much money on those people. And hey, here's a way that Arizona can keep its budget low for education and get education high, funnel more money into vouchers for the private schools, funnel more money into the charters for the high-end kids, and also for places like Foothills and Vail that have the high-end kids in the public schools. And everybody else, well, all we have to do is keep them off the streets and teach them how to have sixth grade reading, writing, and math levels. I think that's a controversial thing to say, but honestly, as brutal as it sounds, I think if you scratch beneath the surface of a lot of the Republican agenda, the education reform agenda, that's what's underlying it.
All right, let's go to Jim Kelly. Jim's been waiting patiently. Jim, how are you today?
I'm good, Bill.
Good.
David, again, I'm going to have to call you out on something that Doug did not touch on, and that is your projection of context and intent of somebody saying no child should be forced to go to a public school. And what I think that you're missing on that is public education today needs changing and needs a lot of reform. So Republicans are not against public education. They are against the present system and form of public education and the mandatory laws that big education has been able to get passed at the state level and at the national level that demands certain services, certain spending on programs that force kids into those programs so the districts can continue to get money. And why has there been such an explosive growth in special education and special needs kids? Why has there been such an explosive growth in poverty programs, whether it be free breakfast, free lunch, or the new demand is three meals a day for these kids? The government shouldn't be in the business of raising kids. That's the parents' responsibility. And it's also the parents' choice of what school and how their children should be educated. And if they don't want them educated by the present system, then they should have a choice. That's what's being destroyed, is the present system. The hubris of present administration within every school district in the country and every college and university in the country. With regards to how you talk about employment, Doug's right. We want full employment for all people, and it takes literacy, not just being able to read and write your name other than an X. We're talking about the literacy of technical journals, the literacy of computer language, the literacy of what's going to move industry forward throughout the United States of America. And I guarantee you the need for the sweepers and the need for the, do you want fries with that, is going to go away through AI and robotics. And okay. You know, trust me, even the people at the Beacon Foundation are wondering, you know, what's going to happen with their people when those low-level sweep-up jobs are no longer available.
Jim, let me ask you a question.
Because they're being done by robotics.
What years were you in high school? You don't have to answer and reveal your age, but I was in from between 60 and 64.
I graduated from high school in 1979, and this is my fear, David, is that you're still thinking it's 1975. It's not. It's 2008.
Okay, I asked that question because I wanted to answer specifically. When you were in school, there were approximately 10% fewer high school-age kids in high school. That would get rid of a lot of the ELL kids. It would get rid of a lot of the kids who had learning disabilities. They would just not be able to make it. They'd not be able to cut it. They'd be gone. One reason
That's
we have... let me finish here. You talk for a long time, Jim. Let me finish.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we spend a lot of money on ELL, certainly in this state, is that we have a lot of people who are second language, who don't speak English as a first language. And we could ignore them and say sink or swim. We don't. One of the reasons we spend a lot of money on kids with learning disabilities is rather than saying you're a very bright kid, but you can't spell or you can't read well because you have dyslexia, rather than saying that, we say, let's work with you, and that costs money. Now, if you want to just say, throw these people on the garbage heap, let them leave the educational garbage heap, even though we can do better work with them, then that's fine.
That.
I disagree.
You're projecting that I've said that, but that is not what I've said.
That's what you said.
In any way, shape, or form, you are projecting and demonizing what you want us to say. That's not what we're saying, and you know it.
Listen to the show again after when it's back on the air and hear what you said, Jim.
In the early 70s. So that's a moot point with regards to when I graduated in 1979.
Okay.
The second thing is that the baby boomers, which I was at the tail end of, was the largest population of school-age kids. School-age children population is dropping in America because Americans are not replacing themselves. We are below the two in terms of population replacement. We're at 1.8.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. David, quickly.
Oh, just Jim wandered through a lot of issues. He kind of wanted to get everything out of, that he knows about education, went through a whole lot of areas. Some of what he said showed his feeling that kids should be able to leave and we shouldn't spend so much money on special education and English second language. I disagree. Some of it about how Republicans and conservatives love full employment, I think means that he can run for office because he spun it just like a good Republican. So I think we disagree on a lot of issues.
Okay.
Jim, read my post. It says what I believe.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much, David Safir.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw with Mike Check. Senator John McCain will be coming up very soon on his program, probably later in the week. On behalf of Ray Allen, my fine engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.